This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. It's Friday night on Love Sport Radio, and I am Matthew Beadle. This is time for our Friday night fan show special. And first up, it is the guys from the Super Six. Yes, since that 2-1 defeat to Liverpool, the Blues, aka Chelsea, have won 6 straight games in all competitions for the first time, I shall say. Well, since, you know, last season. But we're not going to mention that. We're not going to mention a certain man who was in charge then. Because
no, we're
now
allowed to go,
Only men can make that noise, by the way. Yeah. You ask a woman to make that noise, she cannot do it.
I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say something that would have got me put away.
We'll move swiftly on.
I don't know what you mean, Chidge.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show, of course, and the guys that you can hear are Stamford Chidge of the Chelsea Fancast and Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo.
Of course, of the Chelsea Fancast. If you'd like to get in touch with us tonight and chat all things Chelsea,
please,
it's very easy to do so. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or tweet us.
You know
at
what?
Love Sport Radio.
I felt really cool then, because basically my headphones, they were really, really loud. So I was like signalling to Paddy to turn it. I felt like a rock star, you know, when they talk the sound.
I felt
a bit like that. It's had a bit of a moment then.
Because you've got your new cans.
Yes, baby.
Look at it.
I'm professional, man. It's because the ears fell off these stupid cans. So I've had to bring my own in.
I don't think they're stupid cans. I think they're just
old. Sorry. They're not stupid cans.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't be offensive to cans.
Exactly.
Some other cans might be offended.
Exactly.
They might get me banned from
Well, I might
radio.
Be their representative.
Indeed.
Well, chaps, there is plenty to dissect over the next hour or so. We're going to be looking back on that brilliant result in Amsterdam against Ajax. Looking ahead.
Good to use that
fantastic
word, because it was absolutely phenomenal.
I think
Chelsea cleaned up against Ajax.
Or should I say Ajax? There we go. Brilliant. What a great start. And, of course, looking ahead to the game against Burnley tomorrow, that is a 5:30pm kickoff. But before we get to all of that, gents, there is an 8pm kickoff going on this evening. Leicester travelling to Southampton. There is some team news, so I'm going to quickly rattle through that before we get on to Chelsea. For Southampton, in goal, it's Angus Gunn. Then we've got Bednarek, Yoshida, Vestergaard and Valerie. In midfield, it's Oriol Romeu, an ex-Chelsea boy, of course. Højbjerg, Bertrand, Ward-Prowse.
Bertrand's ex-Chelsea too.
He is, yes, indeed.
Rion Bertrand.
Nathan Redmond and Danny Ings up top. For Leicester in goal, Kasper Schmeichel, Ricardo Pereira right back, Johnny Evans, Soyuncu, Chilwell, Ndidi, Perez, Tielemans, Maddison, Barnes and Vardy. Good team, that Leicester team now, you have to say. Very, very good team. But we're not talking about them for the moment.
Just briefly talk about them, because in fact Bertrand was mentioned the other day and saying why hadn't he gone anywhere other than Southampton. And there was a programme about Brendan Rodgers I was looking at on the telly, and they were saying that...
Outstanding.
He was outside, said that he actually put a bid in for him.
Did he?
And it was turned down by the powers that be up
there. Interesting.
So that was a period where Bertrand was sort of available. So we were saying why had he stagnated, considering he was clearly a top player for Chelsea for that period.
A funny old career, right?
Very, Bertrand, very, very, very weird.
Because was it Gillingham that you got him from very, very young? I want to say you got him from a club lower down in the league.
I don't know. I don't know, mate, to
and
be honest.
Obviously played in that Champions League final,
debut,
didn't he?
Made his debut in
that. Which is incredible.
Phenomenal.
And played really well.
Yeah.
Played really well.
Yeah, yeah.
That was his first game for Chelsea.
And also, interestingly, it was a very good tactical moment by Di Matteo by playing him, because he played another fullback, essentially.
Yeah.
So it was. People don't mention that Di Matteo wasn't actually a bad manager. Yeah.
Mm. Well, he won the Champions League.
But yeah, just about.
Pretty good.
Pretty not bad, is it, really? Yeah,
yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Well, chaps, we're going to get, speaking of the Champions League, it's a lovely little segue.
There we go.
But again, actually, before we talk about the game, can I just bring up one thing?
Yep.
The kit.
Mm.
Yep. Oh, what an absolute delight.
You like that, didn't you?
Oh, do you know what?
And I agree with you completely. However, why didn't they play in blue? Because Ajax play in white and red.
Because that's how it works now,
because they're marketing it. Money. Yeah, I know, of course. Yeah, I know. But I agree completely, though. Fantastic with the little red, the way it's been set out. The red,
orange. And I like
is it orange? Yeah. For me, I must be slightly colourblind.
Yeah, orangey salmon.
I love the fact that they debuted that kit with the orange, looking very much like the Dutch away kit in Amsterdam. I thought that was a nice touch.
Do you think that was clever? That was deliberately done, do you think?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
let's not do the whole show like that. That'd be quite interesting, to be fair.
That would sort of be slightly weird, wouldn't it? Because I think it would be slow. The slow that we would get. And I have to pass you something and say, take a talk on this.
Does it? Smoke and a pancake.
Yeah, that's right, smoke.
So, I'm one of the first actually to criticise Nike and just most kit manufacturers now because of the fact that they're all just so lazy with their kits and nothing really means anything. And yes, they say, it's great because it was from 1904 and yada, yada, yada. But then after a year, it's gone. This kit in particular from Nike, it's not a generic, everybody's got the same kit. It's slightly different. I haven't seen another club with it.
Tell you what, Matt, Chelsea, I mean, you know, a lot of our generation hate this kind of constant, you know, three kits a year nonsense, which is designed to fleece fans. Quite often, they're just the most hideous designs that bear no relation to Chelsea's culture or history. Mm-hmm. However, the main away kit, the all-white kit, is a thing of absolute beauty, and they actually really did well. It's a very mod, like it's a bit like a Fred Perry, polo shirt.
With a little collar.
Yeah, it's kind of designed like
buttons,
that. But it's a real nod to the, you know, Kings of the Kings Road, the 60s, the Kings Road, all that kind of business. There's quite a big mod, you know, element to Chelsea's support. Brilliant idea. And it's red, white and blue. I mean, it's just, I think that's the best thing they've done in years in terms of kids.
Well, I think they got given a rocket though, didn't they, Nike? Because they didn't think that the support didn't think they were doing it well enough. They were just making it an adjunct to a Nike Town store.
But, I mean, you know, I don't want to like make this a 10-minute discussion on the kids, but we have to remember that the majority of kids are basically produced with youngsters in mind, and youngsters have very different taste than us. But what is nice to see is occasionally they will throw in a kit. I mean, I can't stand wearing kits. I'm far too fat and old to wear football shirts, but I would buy that white one and wear it.
Would you?
Yeah, it's really stylish, and it doesn't look quite like a football top, you know.
Which is a shame then that they don't keep it for another season, you know, because
who knows,
maybe.
I suspect they won't, but they may do.
Maybe. Okay, enough of the kit chat. Okay, we'll move on.
Done.
Sorry, Chidge.
That's all right. No. It was
just
good
thought
chat.
I'd bring up because it was a nice top. Actually, that bears no resemblance to anything from the history of the one we're talking about. Has that got any connection to any previous
Chelsea?
The
black one?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what the thinking is behind that.
Just completely
random. They've played in black and yellow, and they've played in black and green as kits before, with the black with the green piping, but they were Adidas kits. Mm. So, no, I just think it's quite...
Remember the Embassy fag packet kit?
Yeah.
The blue and blue one?
Yeah, fag packet. Yeah, that was interesting.
Like that. And remember the Castrol GTX one in the 70s?
Yeah,
the Hungary kit.
Red and green, wasn't it? White with
fantastic.
Red and green.
We've had some Boss kit. We had a Brazil kit. You know, literally looked like the Brazil 1970 shirt. So it was yellow with little green, you know, trimmings.
The weird one was that yellow and... yellow striped thing. What was that one?
That was like, wasn't that around the same time as the awful graphite and tangerine?
Yeah, it was.
Which everybody loves apart from me.
Tangerine. Oh man, it's just... When David Hopkin wore that shirt, it did not work out.
It's not a good look, I don't think.
You couldn't see his head, could you?
A lot of people love it. And then there was the Commodore one, the red kind of checker.
With the blocks,
Yeah, I used to love that one. That one I liked.
Mm, I was a Coq Sportif fan with the hoops.
Oh, yeah, well, I've got one of those. I always call that the Kerry kit.
Yeah, the Kerry kit, yeah.
I love that. That's a brilliant shirt.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I had one. I lost it.
You had a proper... You had an original one.
I had an original one. I had one with
a lot of money
golf.
Now.
Oh, what a fool.
Come on, we should talk about football.
Golf fair.
Let's move on. Right, so this... I mean, listen, marvellous Michy. The game in Amsterdam was just incredible. Just because there were so many things to discuss in this game, Chidge. In particular, just... The way that Chelsea went about the victory. We're talking about the Champions League semi-finalists from last season.
Yeah. Yeah, who were the darlings of the media last year, who they expected to get to the final and win it, and hopefully win it, because they were just the youth. So to actually go in there, they haven't lost for 17 games. Mm. To go there and score against them, but beat them, quite phenomenal performance. And done expertly. That's what I'm afraid I got quite tearful with it. When
did
Batshuayi,
you really?
Yeah, well, because of all the when you analyse it, the rubbish of last year and all the ill feeling that was going on. And then to have the team gel so quickly, because to me that was, it was almost a complete performance. The everybody has a role. Everybody is supporting everybody else. They didn't get knackered by doing it. The press is occasionally, they've got three onto one. Nearly every single time. And you think, he's really worked this out absolutely excellently. It's a fantastic tactical response to playing against the top team. And they're all playing absolutely brilliantly.
I think it's the best performance we've seen during Lampard's reign. I talked to somebody else this week about how quickly
they've adapted
this
to
team
it.
Are adapting, yeah. And developing and learning. But, you know, again, they ratcheted up. And just to go back to your point about that pressing, the way that the front three, if you like...
Oh, Mount never
pressed
stops.
Pressed, and then the midfield would do the same. And then the minute that Ajax knocked the ball wide, which is what they like to do, Aspie was hurtling across and intercepted.
We'd written him off,
phenomenal.
Hadn't we, a few weeks ago? He was great.
Yeah, 350th game for the club.
Man of the match for me.
And that block he did. Oh, the block. He did all that afterwards.
Fist pumping,
and the joy after Batshuayi. And then Tammy Abraham running onto the pitch to embrace Batshuayi. You thought, the spirit in this side is just remarkable.
It reminded me, in performance and all of that, of watching Chelsea in the Champions League kind of between about 2004, 2009. You know, that togetherness, the way they... I mean, I can't say the word because I always use this word to describe it, but the way that they use the dark arts, shall we say, you know, falling over and staying down, Hudson-Odoi wandering off the pitch really slowly, fouling in their half, not our... I mean, that you need to... Do you remember when we came on here after we got mugged off by Valencia, and I said there was nothing wrong with that performance apart from the fact that they were naive?
They were naive, completely.
They got mugged off
absolutely.
By a streetwise European side in Valencia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we put in that kind of... We did to Ajax what Valencia did to
it's
us.
It's been a very big, quick learning curve.
Brilliant,
my goodness
it?
Me.
Jody Morris getting a yellow card for the first time in 16 years.
Love it.
Love it.
Absolutely love it. Nothing wrong with
proper European performance.
Yeah.
Against a good side. Nobody's beaten that lot in their own backyard in the Champions League for 5
matches.
Years.
Yeah.
5 years, Jonathan.
Yeah, I know.
Astonishing.
That's why I got tearful.
Apart from Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, yeah. That was complete.
But that doesn't count. It was Spurs.
Unexpected. Yeah.
And it was a draw as well, wasn't it? I don't even think
was
they
it,
actually
was
beat
it draw?
Them on the night.
No,
I think
fair,
it was 3-0,
fair,
so
fair play.
An
yeah, aggregate
one.
Be right.
Fellas, we've barely scratched the surface. Plenty more to talk about with regards to that victory over Ajax. We're going to get onto that next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Myself, Matt Beadle, here with the boys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stamford Chidge. Temporarily, Johnny Burrow, who's come in to take his water
Johnny
bottle.
One Johnny B, there's only one Johnny B.
And Jonathan Kidd as well.
Kiddo.
We are reflecting on that fantastic victory in Amsterdam during the week of Champions League victory, of course. Michy Batshuayi scoring late on to give the
Blues... Have you heard my Batshuayi song?
Go on.
I can't remember. It's got 1, 2, 3. Batshuayi, I like it, Batshuayi, I like it,
Has anybody else sung this song?
About 10 of us.
Yeah.
No one's caught on?
No.
I think Pablo invented that.
Did it? It's excellent.
Brilliant.
But it hasn't happened.
No. Pablo, bassist in the beautiful game and a very good friend.
So he's been there, what, since 2016 now?
We invented it a long time ago.
Crikey, that should have caught on. I like it.
I don't think he's played often enough. And he was Batman. They like that one as well, don't they? Yeah. That one hasn't caught on either.
No.
Which is a shame because Spackman. That did.
That did. Yeah. Well remembered.
Yeah. I love Spackman.
Yeah, he was a great player.
Yeah. He punched Martin Keown out once.
He did.
I
should
love him forever for that moment. It's on YouTube.
He unfortunately said
spark out.
He unfortunately said that when he's playing for Liverpool, Chelsea will never be a great club.
Yeah. But you know, they're all, you don't know this. When they go to Liverpool, they're handed a script of what they have to say, right? And actually, very appropriate because I am wearing my Joey Cole, he's here, he's there.
Of course
not allowed to swear, don't worry, Matt. T-shirts, there you go, on candid camera. And of course, when Joe Cole went, they said, "Well, you know, it's always been my boyhood club. You know, I've loved them forever.
Right.
I've always wanted to play for them.
Right, yeah.
You know, I was a boyhood fan. Yeah. The greatest club in the world. Yeah. This is not a cult, and I haven't been injected with a serum that makes me talk rubbish."
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes, that's very well observed.
It's brilliant, isn't it? When that is like when Graziano Pella moved to China. I think for the first time, all those images came out. Oh, I've wanted this shirt since I was a boy. One of the first shirts I had.
Well, Robbie Keane was the best for that, wasn't he? Yeah. Wherever he went, oh, that's my boyhood club. Yeah. I just love Robbie Keane for that. LA, whatever they were. My boyhood club. Yeah. I've always been a fan. I just love it. You know, it's become a parody in a sense, isn't it? But there you go.
Well, gents, we have a caller.
We have.
Daniel is on the line, wants to discuss Frank Lampard and Roman Abramovich. Daniel, how are you doing?
Hello, yes. Good evening, gentlemen. My name's Daniel Francisco.
I love you, Dan. You know how much we love you because we used to sing your song, didn't we? Francisco.
You did.
Yeah, remember that?
I just say it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Dave and Jonathan.
Oh, you too,
thank
mate.
Thank you, Daniel.
Okay.
And you too.
The legend of the Chelsea fan cast who keep us all sane on a Monday after we've had Sky Sports suck us dry all Saturday and Sunday with their punditry and commiserations, as they would say, for they wanting the red people to win all the silverware.
Excellent stuff.
Anyway,
so you wanted to talk about Super Frankie Lampard, didn't you?
I did, yeah, I did. I was just sort of about his journey, to be fair. I mean, we've got to put it all down to Roman, really. I don't think Roman, I know it was his birthday the other day, he doesn't get enough credit, the man, you know, I mean, what he's doing. I know he's exiled from the country, blah, 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 or whatever at the moment. But what that man did straight away, and he's a businessman, and he invested straight away in that youth academy. And all I keep seeing on Twitter lately is all these pictures of Ruben and Cho and Mount as young boys standing with Roman, you know, in the academy and all that. And I honestly, I believe, you know, I mean, he's a genius businessman. He knows what he's doing. He always has a direction. Right? And no one gives him enough credit for it ever. And he's got us where we are right now. And as an owner, I don't think there's a single football club in the country. And I used to get, when I live on Merseyside, so I used to speak a lot, I used to speak to a lot of scouts. Now, believe me, 10, 15 years ago, they were saying things to me like, "Oh, Danny, you've bought the league, you've bought the title, blah, blah, blah." And I used to go to them, hang on a minute, Alan, so-and-so. I go, 10 years' time, I said, we'll have a level playing field. I said, everyone will have money. We'll all be set up like the American model and all that. That's the way it's going. And then it'll all be about what you do with that money and how you invest it and who you buy and who you waste money on. And my God, has Roman done such a fantastic job for Chelsea Football Club?
He has, Danny has, mate. And I mean, I agree with you, actually. I think when you think how long he's been at the club, the amount of money he's put in, the success that we've had, I think it's easy for us as supporters to get complacent about that. And I think you're right. We should say happy birthday, Roman, because I know he listens every week. Happy birthday, Fiesta.
Of course he does.
Well, of course he does. I mean, you don't doubt that, do you, Dan? Anyway, seriously, mate, look, the point is, I think you're right, actually. I think what Roman does best, I think he's very shrewd at taking the temperature of the supporters. You know, sometimes he doesn't always get it right. Rafa, massive mistake. But he does. Yeah. I mean, but what did he do after Rafa?
Shevchenko,
but he brought Mourinho back. He got it wrong with Sarri in many respects. Okay, yeah. We all know that there were other reasons why maybe Lampard got this gig. You know, perhaps, you know, we wouldn't have been able to get one of the kind of elite level European managers that we normally do. But I think Roman knew. I think he knew that's what we needed. And boy, has he been proven right with this appointment of Frank?
Yeah. I think the club, when Roman first came in, I think the club was at a crossroads. And he done really well with what he did at the time. He was the first big investor in like English Premier League football. And I think right now he's at another crossroads where he's now seeing, after 2012, when we won the Champions League, and it's like we've had manager after manager, and he's now realising that this academy, that, you know, the grassroots, which is the grassroots of your football club, you know, for the fans anyway. You know, and they're going to keep you. They're going to play for the badge. And, you know, he can see that now. Because after 2012, we've sort of You know, we did win a couple of league titles, which was, you know, we're not going to begrudge him that, or our club, or our fans. But now the future's like, right, OK, what do we do from here? Because he's not going to waste any more money because the market's gone silly.
Yeah.
And I see our players now in that academy. They know they've got an avenue to play for that first team. And you can see it in all of them raising their game.
I think that's one of the advantages, Daniel, of the transfer ban is that there is now a route through for the youth, and it'll encourage them even more to attempt to play for the club.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so many
see,
of
yeah.
these poor boys who went by the wayside wanted to play for the first team, and it
of
didn't happen because the new manager, whoever it was, would come in and want their own particular players, and who would then therefore buy three or four stars in their mind, players that they felt were going to make it work from their experience, thus denying any of the youth an opportunity to get in.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that, you know, he's been spending so much money on the youth that, of course, he's been attempting to allow them to have an opportunity to come through. So this Frank, of course, and Jody are the perfect perpetrators of that. They're the perfect people because of their history with the club, and Jody knowing all the youth anyway, so it's been the perfect combination. But there was the possibility of it not working, and you know, we were prepared to, you know, after the 4-0 win at the beginning, we were thinking, well, we'll see, we'll finish 10th this season, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a season
okay
of invent.
We'd,
well, we'd have been happy
okay with
we'd have been happy with that, but
we're
now looking at something that looks on the verge of excellence. It is excellent.
Dan, what did you think of the Champions League match on Wednesday? Because we were just saying before you came, you know, you phoned us up, that was the best performance of the season. And they've just learned so quickly, don't they?
You did. I totally agree with Jonathan. It was like watching a different Chelsea team from last season. I know they say that, like, you know, that we were supposed to have like at least a few couple of seasons, you know, to get this team. And you just look at that side from the team that battled and battled and battled for 90 minutes in that game on Wednesday compared to the side that was just very complacent last season and very confused.
I think they were utterly confused. I think you're absolutely right there, Daniel. I think it was. I'm not sure they were complacent. I don't think they. I think they were all itching inside to get it right. I just don't think they were.
I went to a few away games. I agree with you, Jonathan. I went to a few away games last season, even at Liverpool, Everton, and all that. And you see it when you go to the game, as you know. And it just looked like confusion on the pitch. You know, Willian didn't look the same. Even Hazard didn't look the same.
I think it was
like,
that playing in the straitjacket, as we kept saying it. They were given
it
roles to play, and they found it very difficult to do it, you know, other than towards the end of the season, of course.
They were overloaded with all this sally ball and blah, blah, blah. And you got a way up, and you go, these are simple footballers. You know what I mean? There's only so much you can tell them.
That's true.
Daniel, it's been absolutely great having you on.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Daniel. Brilliant to speak to you.
Can I just say a big thank you to Jonathan and Dave, who absolutely keep me going on the Monday night.
You are lovely. Thank you, mate. Thank you so much.
All right, honestly, and all the pods, I mean, it's from all the clubs out there. Keep the fans going.
That's what we need to hear. It's a delight speaking to you after all these years, mate. It's far too long. One day we'll have a beer at a game, and that'd be even better.
We will. I can't wait, mate. Guinness is on me, mate.
Lovely. I look forward to it, Dan. You take care, pal.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff, Daniel Francisco. Guinness on him with some celery sticking out the top.
That's
the
Chelsea
logo,
cocktail,
right?
Cocktail, mate.
There we go.
Chelsea cocktail.
Lovely stuff.
I'm allowed to say cocktail, aren't I?
You're allowed to say cocktail. This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Back in a moment.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport, the Chelsea fan show, no less, on Love Sport. Myself, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea fan cast, Stanford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd.
What a great call. I enjoyed that.
Brilliant from Daniel Francisco.
More of that, please.
You said I haven't seen you in a long time or not spoken to you in a long time.
No, I've not met Dan, but he's been a listener of the Chelsea Fancast since we've been going for 11 years. He's been there pretty much since the beginning. So I've conversed with him on Facebook and Twitter and all sorts of stuff. He's written in emails to us and stuff.
Yeah,
and he goes to games, but he lives in Liverpool, so you tend to catch him at more of the away games up north than you will down here. So I haven't actually met him yet, but I'd love to. He's a lovely bloke. So.
Sounds it. I was not aware you've been going for 11 years.
11 years, mate. 12 years next April.
Really? You must be one of the early pioneers of
the
daddies, football club.
We're the daddies, mate. I'm known as the podfather for that very reason.
There he goes.
And I used to do vlogs 15 years ago.
Yeah. Before that, even before they were even called
before,
vlogs.
Before YouTube existed. And I put them on there at the beginning and had thousands of followers, but also abused horrendously.
Oh, yeah, comes of the territory.
And
right?
Now he has hundreds of thousands of followers and is
abused double fold.
He's abused even more.
Yeah.
No, now you get a lot of love, man, because you're on the Chelsea fan cast.
Of course,
you get
it's
a lot of
through
love.
You. Yeah, yeah. Because I was on my own.
I spread the love, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah. You're putting a good word for me.
I do. I say He's a bit weird, but he's all right,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Did you see the joke on Twitter this week about
with
the cake?
Saying it should be Jonathan
Kidd. You're famous. This is somebody you don't even know. He said, I bet Jonathan... there was basically a picture on Twitter of some bloke cutting up cake in the Johnny Haynes stand in Fulham.
Right.
Yeah, and somebody said, oh, I haven't met him, but I bet you that's the kind of thing that Jonathan Kidd would do. And I wrote back, because I do know the bloke who wrote it, I said, yeah, but actually he'd get sop with his butler to give it to him on a silver platter in the East Stand.
And I said it would have to be gluten-free.
It would, indeed.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Anyway, we digress, man.
We always love talking about cake on the Chelsea Fancast. Not
like
a problem.
Test match special, but not.
We are going to speak to Chris Bowden shortly, the Burnley Express sports editor, about the game at the weekend. But I just want to finish up on the clash in Amsterdam first. Couple of things to note. I think the super subs and that tactical change from Frank Lampard in bringing on Christian Pulisic and Michy Batshuayi was
changed
brilliant.
The game.
Absolutely changed the game.
Well, did it change? I don't think it changed the game. I mean, obviously, technically it did because we won 1-0, but it just gave them more impetus. I mean, this is a point that was made by good old Glenn Hoddle and Joe Cole after the game. But, you know, the fact that Chelsea in the 86th minute were still looking to win that game and that Marcus Alonso was in the box involved in the goal.
Yeah.
The left
doing
back.
The dummy. Yeah.
With a very, very skillful dummy.
Yeah.
Like, I think everything about it, the run from Pulisic who'd come on and made a number
brilliant
of direct runs before.
From Pulisic. And brilliant impact.
I'm not going to blow my own trumpet here, but when he first arrived, I did say on this very show, I like him because he's direct and he runs at defenders. Yeah. And, you know, sooner or later, that's going to have a big impact. It did have a big impact.
And Batshuayi, of course, had just missed.
Absolutely.
Glaring.
Yeah.
We had classic Batshuayi, really. That was horrendous.
But he took that
and a brilliant goal.
The edge of the six-yard box. He's absolutely lethal.
Well, he is. He's a goal scorer.
Yeah.
I liked his movement for that goal
as
well.
So did I.
You see, he is learning. He is getting better as well.
Yeah.
It's amazing. When you consider how little game time he's had, he's not got the hump. The other thing I noticed, Tammy Abraham on the bench was absolutely ecstatic that Batshuayi scored.
He ran all that distance.
Do you know what, mate? We basically taught the Dutch total football that night.
In the Johan Cruyff Stadium.
Tomori doing a Johan Cruyff turn and mugging that bloke. I don't even know who it was. I don't care. But, I mean, oh, mate.
And that was, you talk about the celebrations, that was brilliant at the end with Tomori and Zuma. So good. Yeah. I kind of feel like everything we discussed at the start of the season as to why, and I said this before we came on air, as to why it could be the right appointment with Frank Lampard. We said he'd employ youngsters. Yeah. We said he'd employ English youngsters. Yeah. We said he'd give Chelsea an identity, which arguably the club hasn't had it in a while. All of that's borne fruit.
Yeah. And he is such a terrific figure as well. The interviews he gives are just...
Yeah,
lovely bloke.
Oh, it comes
bright
across
bloke.
As being... Yeah, that business was during the week when the Dutch guy said,
Are you scared?
He said, no, it's my face. He said, and he said, no, it's my face.
It's just my face. Yeah.
It's my face. No, he isn't Dutch. Yeah.
He should have gone all the Steve McLaren. Steve McLaren.
And lastly on this game, chaps.
Yes.
VAR? Are we going to discuss
Well, it's brilliant.
It?
I mean, how can anybody ever criticise VAR again? I mean,
see,
clearly proven to be absolutely brilliant. Nah, what a load of nonsense,
I mean,
mate.
He's unfortunate there, Primus,
nonsense.
Isn't he? Absolutely
crazy.
He's
still offside, though.
So the law needs to change in that respect.
But we've said we can't have it both ways, mate.
I don't want it both ways. I want it that way.
Yeah, but no, I have argued all the time, as has Matt, that, you know, giving people offside for a millimetre is fraught.
It was a foot.
It was not a foot.
It was his foot.
It was a foot.
Yeah, exactly.
But it wasn't. Not
millimetre.
It was.
There are. I mean, here's the thing. When they're checking on TV, you've got issues here with frame rates, which jump. You are not seeing what we see with our eyes. You're only seeing a fraction of what we see with our eyes. So you cannot judge precisely, 100% accurately, when the player moved in relation to when the ball was kicked. So it's not infallible.
Yeah, but they've got to be consistent, though, haven't they?
Yeah,
they can't say, well, we'll give them a couple of inches.
They should make it clear daylight between them. The rules need to check. If you're gonna judge offsides on VAR, then I think you need to change the offside rule.
Well, they changed the offside law, didn't they, before, to make it level, because before it was you just need to be the other side of the player to deliberately give the advantage to the goal scorer so there'd be more goals. Yeah. So in this instance, if there are being less goals,
well, it's giving
the advantage to the defender. They should change the law. I agree with you.
Because, you know, I don't have problems with the technology per se. What I have problems with is the way that it's being judged and used by the referees, which has no consistency whatsoever. And I do have a problem when in a human sport, which is dealing with real time incidents, to judge somebody offside by a millimetre just seems just so unbelievably draconian. That's the trouble. It's no margin for
error.
Where
they draw the line, I'm happy with it.
And you and I love cricket.
Yeah.
They allow for that in cricket, don't they? Yeah. In the umpire's call, and when the ball hits the stump, I think it has to be more than half of the ball has to be in line with the stump or something. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Then that's judged by the machine. But yeah, if
but he, it allows for a margin of error.
Yeah. If he's given the call, the umpire, then and he says it's out, it hits the wicket, it's been seen. Yes, it's out. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, that you're allowing for human interaction with it and a margin for error. Yeah. And I think that's right. I mean, a millimetre offside. I mean, that's just so. How as a player do you judge? Or I better like time my run so I'm not a millimetre offside. You can't do that. It's insane.
You can't. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You and like football, you
say,
you know that.
You don't want it either way. That's not how you want to win games. However,
I do.
I'll take
I love it.
It.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I'll take it.
You'll take it, yeah. But
they hit the post,
the grand
too.
Scheme,
we were lucky, you know, on occasion.
They did.
No doubt.
Two occasions, that's all. But,
okay, only two occasions we were lucky, exactly.
Well, it is Burnley this Saturday, of course. Tomorrow night, the 5:30 p.m. kickoff. Delighted to say we've got Chris Bowden from the Burnley Express, the sports editor there on the line. Now, Chris, I believe my good friend Stamford Chidge has provided me with some stats that it's been 46 years since Chelsea last lost a top-flight encounter at Turf Moor. Frank Kasper on that day, a goal in the final 10 minutes or so. Are we going to see the same tomorrow or not?
It's a tough one. It's a strange one because Burnley they've tended to get their better results against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge for one reason or another. But, Everyone has snapped their hands off at Burnley if you could give them a victory tomorrow. But if Chelsea turn it on, Burnley are going to have a job on their hands, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right there, actually, Chris. Do you know what? Here's the thing. What I'm astonished by, I mean, before one goes into a match with Burnley, your preeminent thought is, "Gaw, this will be tough." They'll stick everybody at, you know, set pieces. They'll elbow, kick, scrap, bully, intimidate, and we'll probably buckle and we'll lose. But that's not the case. Our record up at Turf Moor, as Matt was saying, is really, really good. I mean, last year we won 4-0, and that was with Sarri. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's bizarre. And I think there's a bit of a myth. And I mean, fair play to Burnley, actually. And you know, I'm sure you do play on this to an extent. But there's a myth, isn't there, about going up to Burnley and playing and coming back black and blue and beaten, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at Burnley's record against the sides outside the established Big Six is fabulous. And it's why they're in the Premier League for the fifth year out of six.
Yeah.
But as you say, they have had results against the Big Six. You know, they've drawn the last 3 years at United. You know, they've picked up a point at City, beaten City at home. They've beaten Chelsea away and drawn at home, drawn away. You know, they've drawn at Wembley against Spurs. They've beaten Spurs at home last year and so on and so forth. Like I say, as a block of results, I mean, 5 against the Big Six. That win against Spurs, that's going back to the start of, the 2017-18 when they won at Stamford Bridge. But yeah, it's not so much a myth. Cause I think they do come away from these games. Liverpool won 3-0 the other week, and it wasn't a 3-0 game.
The three defeats this season have all been to top four sides, haven't they? Yeah. But you've done well about the others, as you say. In all three,
you know, you could probably say got something at Arsenal. I mean, they did get something at Leicester last week, but were ruled out by
VAR. Disgraceful, mate. I watched it. Disgraceful. Hate VAR. Apart from when it works for us.
That was just a nonsense in that decision. You're looking at, is it a clear and obvious error that the referees missed, you know, an unintentional, inadvertent clip from Chris Wood? Did Johnny Evans clip himself? You can't tell. You can watch it back and forward hundred times. You can't tell what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, a quick word on Danny Drinkwater. I know he's not going to play at the weekend, but what's the feeling like up there with regards to that low move so far?
I expect.
It's been a bit of a disaster, hasn't it?
It's, well, as you say, it's not gone to plan, to say the least, so far. It's he's had to work to get up to a level of fitness. He played in the Carabao Cup against Sunderland and looked a class act.
Chris, he actually played a game.
Yeah.
What happened?
He looked a class act in the first half. Burnley were, they were one up. Then he got a sloppy little pass and Sunderland equalised on half time. Burnley were awful second half, and we've not seen him since. Obviously, the nightclub incident, and I think the manager handled that very sensibly. Wasn't getting carried away, nothing knee jerk. But he's still, we're hoping he'll be back full training next week. But he's the type of player Burnley. When you heard about the signing, you thought that's just a perfect move for Burnley.
He's a decent player, mate. He really, I feel really awful for him. I think it's just
really
so sad
at the beginning of the
out.
Season because he played in the pre-season, didn't he? Yeah, he seemed to be making an effort when they were all being given a chance. They're all out there for the showcase. So I don't think he played terribly well.
I think his surname's a bit of a misnomer, though. I don't think he just drinks water. That's all I'm saying.
But his ability. I mean, Burnley play forward to the front two quickly, and he can do that. He obviously did that in that Leicester side that won the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the type of midfielder Burnley need, really.
And, scored a brilliant goal for us against Stoke. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think I was with you that day.
You were, yeah. He just followed it. Yeah.
We had a good view of that, didn't we? Yeah. Sorry, because we digress. We're wandering off into moments nostalgia. So my
view at Turf Moor is that you play much more expansively at Turf Moor. It's when you play away. I think it's no coincidence that when you played at the Bridge that you play a much more contained defensive type of tactics, which are slightly involved with the dark arts.
I've got no problem with dark arts, Chris.
But it is a lot of almost amount of lying around injured last year. I remember, and lots of when you thought, I don't think he's been tackled at all. But
that Jonathan harbours a grudge or anything.
No. But I remember I kept saying, for God's sake, you haven't been touched. Get up, God's sake. Whereas it doesn't happen at Turf Moor ever, because you always seem to try and play. Well, obviously, you're the home team. So you try
I
and
think
play
Burnley
more.
Have got quality. Again, I think it's another myth. This is no like Bolton. It's a bit like Bolton.
I have
Bolton.
To say, I like Wood immensely.
It's
I think
a bit like Bolton.
Wood's a fab player.
A bit like
hell.
Bolton under Big Sam. Everybody just thought they used to lump it up Route 1. But he had some quality players and they played good football. I think, Chris, that's the same with Burnley, actually. They've got some good players. Wood,
yeah.
Barnes, as
play to
said.
Suit, yeah. They play to suit. If they can hurt you by playing through you, they will do. If they can hurt you by playing over you or around you or set pieces or... if they ram it down your throat and you can't handle it, that's...
I mean, Ashley Barnes is annoying because he scores some fabulous goals. You think, God. But all at the same time, you just think, ugh.
He tried to kill Matic.
He did.
I've never forgiven him for that.
No, yeah.
But I tell you what, though, when it comes to Burnley, there are three things I like about Burnley. I'll do them in reverse order. One is Eccles cakes. One is black pudding, and the top one is Sam Dicchio. I think he's brilliant. Sam Dicchio. Where did that come? Sean Dicchio. Sorry, Deitch. Because I think he's brilliant. I love Sean Dyche.
I like the fact that he's always hoarse at the end of every game.
But I just
don't
love
you?
Him. I think he's a very, very, very good and very clever manager,
Your
Sean Dyche.
His voice doesn't change. Nope. Before the game, during the game, after the game.
Oh, really? I always thought he had a normal voice at the beginning.
No,
I suppose
we don't
hear him at the beginning, do we? Only hear him at the end. Yeah. You always think, God, he's been shouting a lot.
Brilliant. I mean, I think he's perfect for Burnley in a way. But I mean, and I don't mean to be rude and say he should leave. But I mean, do you think he's, this sounds awful saying this, Chris. I don't mean to sound awful, but do you think he deserves a shot at a top four club, let's say? I think he's more than capable of doing it, actually.
I think he is, but I don't think... I think there's a level of snobbery in the game, and I don't think he'd necessarily get a top four, top six club. I think he'd have to make a step, maybe. But what's the step now? I think Burnley are sort of... Conceivably, I think they can finish top 10 again.
I hope he stays at Burnley for your sake, because I think he's perfect for Burnley and I think he does a great job there.
I think he also chooses really good players from the transfer market as well. So,
indeed. Chris, it's been great having you on, boss. Just before you go, a quick score prediction.
Oh, good grief! I'll take a point, but it's one of those games tomorrow. It could literally, could be anything. Yeah, could be anything.
Agree with that.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thank you, mate. Cheers, good fun. Thank you.
That was Chris Bowden of the Burnley Express, the sports editor there. We're going to look ahead to that game tomorrow and talk a bit more about Sean Dicchio.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
The Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the boys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stanford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd. We just spoke to Chris Bowden there, the sports editor of the Burnley Express.
Very nice man, Jonathan.
Yeah, reminds me of an advert that used to be on TV many, many moons
ago.
He wasn't in that one.
It's in the sand.
But just Sean Dicchio, was that a joke that I missed?
Or, yes, it was. I'm sorry. You just got to keep up, Matt. Keep up.
For a second, I was like, is he talking about Danny Dicchio?
Because Sam Allardyce always used to say,
sure,
you know what, if I was called Sam Allardyceo, I'd probably be managing a top four club. But I'm not. I'm Sam Allardyce. And they won't have it. And I drink pints of wine. That's probably why I do.
That's uncanny.
He's
that.
Actually from Dudley, so I don't know why I'm giving him a northwest
like
accent.
That, isn't he? Yeah.
Yes, Big Sam. That's right. From Dudley. Yeah. And his pint of wine. Yeah. Yeah. White wine, mind. I've gone northern again. Move on.
Easily done.
Well, we're going up north tomorrow.
We are.
Turf Moor, of course. Great stadium, by the way.
I love it
up there.
I love Turf Moor.
Absolutely love
it. Possibly the coldest place in the world.
Oh, it's cold.
Yeah.
Although, actually, I believe statistically, on record, the coldest football ground in England is Boundary Park, Oldham.
Yeah.
It's the highest.
No,
I think.
West Brom's the highest.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is weird. How did the Hawthorns get to be the highest? Yeah. But it is.
The away stand at Craven Cottage with the wind coming off the river is absolutely brass monkeys. Yes, that really is.
Actually, the coldest What's the coldest you've ever been at a football ground?
Weirdly, at Fulham. I covered it for a TV programme I was working on. I was sitting just above the dugout when what's his name? Used to be Sanchez. Laurie Sanchez was the manager. He looked like one of the Cray twins, I always thought. I think he modelled himself on them. I did shout a few things, which I shouldn't have done.
I enjoyed him as a manager.
In the media. Anyway, it was so cold. I said to me and the cameraman, I said, mate, I can't stand this anymore. Let's go to the press box, which is under the Johnny Haynes stand.
Yeah.
And sat and drank cocoa and watched Sky Sports News because I actually really wanted to know what the Chelsea score was. I didn't know what I was doing. Funnily enough, they were playing Bolton in a Carling Cup match or something.
Well, do you know what's funny? You mentioned Laurie
Sanchez.
It was
really cold, mate. Really cold.
So he was the manager at the coldest game I think I've ever attended. Ended in England, yeah. Springfield Park, Wigan's old ground. Springfield Park, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely.
And I just remember trying back in the day, you know, when they used to serve like cups of tea in those like beige coloured, like tiny little plastic. Horrendous. I remember just wrapping.
Because they were so hot. It would be perfect.
But I think the coldest, just to finish this one, is Kansas City, Sporting Kansas against Houston Dynamos, an MLS playoff game. Freezing.
Well, I wasn't there, but it's on record, and people who listen to us every week will remember this, but when we played Burnley a few Februaries ago, and it snowed as well, and I've got people there who said they've never been that cold in their life.
Really?
That was a cold one.
It's tough.
Yeah.
If the game's good, I do know
people who, when we played Copenhagen...
Wonderful.
No, it wasn't. It was wonderfully chilly. Oh, okay. It was really cold out there. I remember that one. Yeah. Anyway, we digress.
We digress again for about the third or fourth time on tonight's
show. We'll talk
about
some football in the end.
Yeah, so, Phil, I mean, we've heard from Chris.
We have.
What are your thoughts going into the game?
Well, I mean, we kind of said really everything we need to say about the Burnley context there. But, I mean, I think from our point of view, Frank made a point of this in the presser today. You know, it will be a really tough match. It'll be a completely different set of circumstances and styles that we had in Ajax Amsterdam. And, of course, they haven't had a lot of recovery time, which is the point that he made. I tell you what I'm worried about, Jonathan. I'm worried about the fact that a lot of these players are because of the injuries that we've got, are having to play every game.
They burn themselves out.
Well, and of course, it's a bit like, you know, when Klopp first introduced the gegenpress to Liverpool and they would run out of steam before the end of the season. Now, I know these kids are young, but they are all working incredibly hard.
Unbelievable.
When Mount comes off that pitch after a game, he's spent.
He took William off in the game because
he was exhausted. He didn't take him off because he was exhausted. You talk about the
tactical substitution. One of the reasons that Pulisic replaced William was because William was on his knees.
He was spent. But they're putting it in. And, I, you know, we're just a bit you know, blighted by a lot of injuries at the moment, and I hope that that doesn't take its toll. Be really interesting to see who he plays, because I don't think he has much choice other than to play pretty much everybody he played on Wednesday and last Saturday,
yeah.
Unless they're absolutely injured.
It was interesting what you said initially, I mean, we discussed the fact that he might have played...
Or will he choose Pulisic to start?
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility. Yeah. But also, we were saying that Giroud and Pedro were the experienced players, and he might give them a go in the European Cup tie. And no, he did.
Well, no,
he did
exactly, I said that at the time.
Yeah.
I said he'd pick the strongest team he has available.
And I said, no, he'll pick the team that won at the weekend, because that's the team that are implementing.
No, I said that.
Implementing.
I said
you
that.
Said the opposite,
no,
I did. You said,
no,
you,
I did.
You said El Beardo.
El Beardo and Pedro. Maybe I said that to somebody else then. I speak to so many people, Jonathan.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so diminished in your presence.
You
yeah.
Womp, womp, yeah. Womp.
You're well, just one of thousands, Jonathan. Oh, okay. Thank you.
And also, I suppose you're going to have to watch the chair. You're going to have to also consider that there is a clash in midweek as well. In the EFL Cup,
yeah,
I believe.
That, you know.
So is that insignificant in the grand scheme of things?
It's only you lot. We only need to put out the fourth team.
But how are you viewing that in your season?
I think he'll persist with the best team.
I agree.
I think, yeah.
The thing is,
he doesn't want to get rid of the rhythm, the whole process at the moment.
And I think you and I would both agree on this point. Frank Lampard likes to win. He's a winner. You know, he will go into every match trying to win it, because that's how he played as a player. Frank, as you will know, hardly ever got injured at Chelsea. I think he's got one of the Premier League records for match consistency, playing in every match. He's a winner. He wants to win, and I don't think you will not get Frank tinkering. I think he'll tinker maybe occasionally if it's a tactical issue, or if they're fit, his best side plays. If they're not fit, he brings other people in. And then he'll bring other people on the bench to change it if he needs to. And I think that's what we're beginning to see.
But
we've
yet to see them being able to slow a game down and stop the opposition from playing. There was a touch of that in the Southampton game.
And there was a touch of that.
Kept giving the ball away. Though.
Yeah, I think they were clever against Ajax. The way they kept the ball, that was the key, but I felt that was more to it.
Yeah, rather than just doing sitting back in your own half and having the ball booted down the pitch as Mourinho used to do. And it all became a little bit... Difficult,
indeed. And actually, just to finish on Lampard, because I think he deserves the recognition that we always give him on the show. It is six straight wins for him, his best record. It says a lot about Frank Lampard, right? This isn't just any old ex-player who's gone into management. He took that time away from the game after he retired to really study the game. He got his badges, which he was doing beforehand. But he's intelligent. He knows his stuff.
And he's also amusing as well. He's from that family, because Harry's amusing and even Jamie Redknapp's fun.
No, I don't. Jamie Redknapp's not funny.
Not funny. I just
Harry
said fun.
Is.
Yeah, but
I don't think Jamie Redknapp. Jamie Redknapp's
not fun. Can you differentiate fun and funny?
He's neither.
Yeah.
No. Disagreeing on that.
I can, but we're having a disagreement.
No. Hang on with that.
Do you know what? I'll tell you something. Actually, I'll negate that entirely. I was at the Soho House having a nice time all afternoon.
When was that?
Oh, years ago. With Michael Robam, friendly enough, my LA Chelsea mate. Yeah. And we'd had a few, and we came out quite late, and Michael spotted Jamie Redknapp, who had been in Soho House and was about to get into a waiting cab, and Michael goes, "Hey, look, that's Harry Redknapp." And I'm like wetting myself, saying, no, that's Jamie. And Jamie saw me going, no, man, that's Jamie Redknapp. And he was roaring with laughter, which I thought was fairly...
Oh, so he has got a sense of humour.
Yeah, he has, really.
Oh, he appreciates fun. Yeah, he there does. We go. Yeah, we can say that.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of plugs to get out. So
quickly, please
up.
Do.
All right, yeah. Obviously, my big sleep out at Stamford Bridge on the 16th of November. I will be sleeping in the cold, dank environment of Stamford Bridge for charity. For two homeless charities, the Glassdoor Charity and the Sir Oswald Stoll Foundation, who look after homeless people. It's all for homeless people. So if you want to sponsor me, I'd be very grateful. uk.virginmoneygiving.com/DavidChidgey. And also, we have a brand new podcast,
exciting
Matt.
Stuff.
It is very exciting. Me and a guy called Martin King, who's been going to Chelsea forever and has written loads of books on Chelsea, have been interviewing lots of Chelsea legends from the 60s to present day. And we are releasing these as podcasts on the Podbean platform, which is chelseaspecial.podbean.com. We are charging a small fee for each one because it's cost us lots of money to do it and we're paying the players. So.
And it will be 100% worth it. I've heard
brilliant.
Little snippets.
Yeah, they're good.
And
they're
I've
good.
Got a single out called Eden Hazard and it's on my website, jonathankidd.com.
Lovely stuff. Gents, it's been nothing but a pleasure. We will be back
Scores.
Next week reflecting. We haven't got
4-2.
Time, I'm afraid.
Time.
Chidge.
2-1.
Lovely stuff. Chelsea fan show. We'll see you next week.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.